All right, I want to pray and then we will get started. Let's bow our heads. Dear God, we thank you for your many blessings in our lives and for this holiday coming up this week that reminds us that we are to be a grateful people, that we truly are blessed. Lord, we thank you for this holiday that does point us in that direction. Lord, I ask your blessing on each person here. Lord, help us to truly see how you have truly given us many gifts. And it's a different list for everybody. For some, it's health, and some, it's been certain relationships like marriage and children, and some, it's just certain opportunities and a particular job. And Lord, we just thank you for all these things you've given us. But most of all, the gospel of Jesus Christ, that we can be saved from our sins, that we can have the certainty of heaven, that we can live a full and abundant life here, that we can just be transformed in the midst of the challenges of everyday life. And Lord, I just ask your blessing on our time together in the name of Jesus. Amen. One thing I'm grateful for is just I appreciate how many volunteers we have at Journey. And so I do want to say thank you to those that volunteer. I was trying to figure out how many, you know, volunteers have we had in the last 6 months in some way, shape, or form. And it's hard to figure out because we have some mega volunteers who serve like four different roles and all that. But it really by the time you add up, you know, children's ministry, which Jessica tells me takes about 30 volunteers to run that, and setup team, and North Star, and worship team, and small groups, you know, people who host and people who lead, and just the various things out at the project, and just all this kind of stuff. It was amazing to me as I was adding it up, and all the teams of people that came in, and I ended up with like 170 different spots, you know, and of course some do multiple things, but it really was pretty amazing as I stopped to think about it. So I just want to thank you. It's surprising how many volunteers' hours it takes just to function as a congregation, particularly in the midst of a building project, which does take a lot of time and effort. So I thank you for that. All right, let's look at our primary text today. It's Luke chapter 17, verses 1 through 11. This is an incident in the life of Jesus that shows us both the prominence of the problem of ingratitude and the power, a glimpse of the power of gratitude. And so I want to look at this. It says this, Luke chapter 17, verse 11 through 19. Now on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. Now the Jews lived in Galilee. Those who were not Jews lived in Samaria, and the Samaritans were hated by the Jews. They looked down on the Samaritans. As he was going into a village, 10 men with leprosy met him. They stood at a distance. Now see, these folks had to stand at a distance. They had to yell unclean, unclean wherever they went. People were terrified of them because they had this, what they viewed as a skin disease. Modern medicine tells us it was, a lot of it has to do with the fact that there was no sense of pain. And so what would happen is, let's say you have a boiling pot over a fire, and if you're a leper, you reach out and grab the pot, whereas you and I would immediately jump back. They have no sense of pain, and so they just burn their hands terribly, and then that would cause all kinds of infections and problems because they just didn't have a sense of pain. And so, anyway, but they had leprosy, met him. They stood at a distance, verse 13, and called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." When he saw them, he said, "Go show yourselves to the priest." And as they went, they were cleansed. Now, there was a process where the priests would kind of verify that they no longer had leprosy, so then they could rejoin the community, and they could go see their families and all that again. And so notice the miracle happens on the way. Jesus is at a distance. Verse 15, one of them, when he saw he was healed, came back, praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him, and he was a Samaritan. So for the Jews witnessing this, the Samaritans, the hero, they don't like that. But he's the one person who showed gratitude to Jesus. Verse 17, Jesus asked, "Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Rise and go. Your faith has made you well." And you can translate that word "well" as whole. And so I think he was cleansed, I think there's this physical healing, but then I think there's this healing that comes from exerting and exercising and expressing gratitude. And there's this wholeness that comes from that. Been reading a book that I really enjoy that you might want to check out. Anne Voskamp is the author, and it's called 1,000 Gifts. And basically, it's kind of the transformation that occurred in her life as she was looking at her life and saying, you know, I'm kind of a complainer. There are times she would really get down and depressed. There'd been a lot of tragedy in her life. And she decided to write a list of 1,000 gifts from God. 1,000 blessings. And most of us, you know, we could do 50 pretty easily, but to get to 1,000, that's going to take some effort to really have to stop and think about it. And kind of the transformation that happened in her as she wrote that list over a period of time of 1,000 gifts from God. And that may be an exercise that you want to try. But she says this, she says of gratitude, thanks multiplies the joy and makes any life large. And I love that. Thanks multiplies the joy and makes any life large. Now, when I read this story of these 10 lepers, I've always wondered about the 9 that don't come back. You know, why don't they come back? And we don't know. The scripture doesn't say. So I just kind of use my imagination. Let me give you a few ideas. So let's say we had them all up here sitting on a bench and we could ask them, you know, just one to nine down the row there. I think one might tell us, well, he told us to go show ourselves to the priest, so I was just doing what he said. I think at least one would say that. I think one might say, well, I was worried it wouldn't last, and so I wanted to get cleared by the priest and go see my family as quick as possible. Or one that I would identify with is, I think one of them might say, well, I was going to do it later. I was going to go circle back and say thank you later. Maybe one of them would say, well, I felt guilty. I didn't deserve to be healed. Or maybe one said, I was going to ignore the whole run to the priest. I was just going to go straight to my family, and I wasn't going to circle back and say thank you. Or maybe number 6 said, maybe he would say, well, honestly, I was a little angry. I appreciated that Jesus healed me, but I was kind of angry that he healed Bob because he was a jerk, that other leper, and I can't believe God healed him as well. Or maybe there's the entitlement mentality guy he's like, well, it's about time, God. He should have healed me a long time ago. And so he didn't circle back because he wasn't that impressed. And then there's the guy, number 8, maybe he's like, well, I kind of think it was these vitamins I was taking and this healthy diet that I've been on and even been drinking kombucha for a while. And I think it just all kicked in at the right moment and I was cleansed of my leprosy. And then maybe there's the final guy and he's like, well, I just thought I was lucky. And so I didn't circle back. I don't know what was going on in their mind. And maybe some of those are just ridiculous and silly. But for some reason, 9 out of 10 did not circle back and say thank you. Now, we just had Halloween, and maybe you handed out candy at your door. I'm curious how many of the children said thank you. Be interesting what the percentage was. There is a problem, I think, in many of us, and I think it's in our culture. And that is the problem of ingratitude, that we're not grateful for what God has given us. It's an old problem. I think it goes all the way back to the Garden of Eden. If you stop and look, I mean, we could look at the Garden of Eden, here's Adam and Eve. They're wandering around. It's warm. It's beautiful. It's lush. They can have fruit whenever they want. They can eat whatever they want. I mean, they have total dominion. They walk with God every day. There's no sin between them. There's no sin between them and God. I mean, there's no sickness. There's no death. There's no sorrow, no pain. And if we were to look at that scene, we'd be like, how in the world is Satan going to mess this up? How could he do it? How could he even tempt them? Well, for them to be free will, for us to have free will, there had to be a choice. And so, remember, God had one tree that they were to, you know, keep their cotton-picking hands off of. And that one tree, they were told not to do that. And at some point, Satan got them to change their focus from what they had to what they was being withheld from them. And at some point, Satan got them to experience ingratitude. That this paradise, this perfect relationship with each other and God, wasn't enough. and that they should get more. And they weren't grateful for what they had. And so this is an old problem. It's a problem that I think all of us deal with every now and then. Sometimes I'll see it in my kids and I don't like it. Sometimes I see it in myself and I don't like it. It's ugly. When a little boy was asked to give a definition of salt, he said this. He said, salt is what makes potatoes taste bad when it's left out. And I would say that gratitude is what makes life taste bad when it's left out. You ever been around a really ungrateful person? It's not pleasant. And so ingratitude is a real problem. And there can be some barriers to gratitude. There can be pride, you know, I did it myself. Or there can we can get into a habit of having a critical spirit. We can even the miraculous can be unimpressive after a while. I think of the people of Israel. God freed them from all this slavery and all this oppression in the nation of Egypt. And they had begged for it, and they're out wandering in a wilderness. And we don't know how many there were, but let's say there's 1 million people. It was a large number of people. And every single day, except the Sabbath, God provided manna. And we don't know much about this food. Manna just means, what is it? You know, it's kind of this unique food that sustained them. And they were satisfied. They were taken care of. Their basic need was met in this superfood. And yet, what did they start doing? And I think most of us can identify with this. Oh, it's manna again. And they start grumbling. And so this ingratitude starts to get a hold of us. And we need to really wrestle with it. It amazes me. Even startling generosity. Sometimes people become ungrateful. Kind of for me, the classic incident was back in September 13, 2004, when Oprah Winfrey was kind of at her peak and she was celebrating, I think it was her 19th anniversary or season on television. And they called up some people up front and they gave them all a new car. And then she had a little gift box for everybody in their audience, which was a huge number. It was 276 people. And she said, there's one car left, and if you open the box, if there's a set of keys, then you get a car. And they opened the box, and everybody had a set of keys. And so she's jumping up and down. You all get new cars. They're all jumping up and down, and they're just ecstatic. So she gives away all these cars. Unbelievable. Just bedlam breaks out. $28,000 cars, each one. It's incredible. And yet later, some of the car winners grumbled because that was added to their income by the IRS, and they felt like Oprah should have given them each the cash to cover what they would have had to pay in taxes. So the brand new car wasn't enough. She should have taken care of that as well. And you're just like, really? It's painful sometimes. Sometimes in marriage, maybe you get frustrated because your spouse is not doing so well and is a little critical. There was a preacher, he was trying to work with the couple, and he asked what the husband did, and he told him, and he says, what does your wife do? And his answer was, well, she manufactures her own unhappiness. Ouch. Some people do that, though. They're just ungrateful. Romans 1:21, it's fascinating to me that in this very dark description of the sinfulness of humanity, Paul writes this, for although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him, but their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. Ingratitude is a big deal, and it's something that we need to watch in ourselves. The solution is to remember all that God has done, to remember and to express and practice gratitude. Easy to say, maybe hard to do. I love the word remember in Scripture. We see it about 450 times between the Old and the New Testament. Each, or at least most of the time, remember is a call to gratitude, to remember something that God did for his people. I think of the great Exodus where God, he takes them out of slavery, as I mentioned earlier. And there's this celebration, the Passover feast, that was tied to that final plague where the angel of death passed over. And if you had the innocent blood of a lamb on the doorpost, then the angel of death passed over. If you did not, then the angel of death killed the firstborn son. in that household. And it was a terrible plague, but it was the final act that got Pharaoh to let the people go and to be free. And later, God says this in Deuteronomy 15:15. He says, "Remember that you were slaves in Egypt. Remember. And the Lord your God redeemed you. That is why I give you this command today." And so the Jews, even to this day, they celebrate Passover, and it's a reminder to them that the blood of an innocent lamb protected them from the wrath of God. Now, we Christians see in that this incredible picture, this pointing forward to the gospel, to Jesus Christ, who John the Baptist once called the Lamb of God, who offered his sinless life for us, and we're under the blood of Christ, and so we don't experience the wrath of God that we deserve, but we experience the grace and the goodness and the mercy of God. But I love that word, remember. Remember, and that makes us grateful. I love the story of later in Israel's history, where Samuel the prophet and judge leads the Israelites against the Philistines, their terrible enemies. And they have a great victory, and Samuel sets up this big stone he calls an Ebenezer stone, which simply means that the Lord has helped us thus far. And I love that, because anytime you walk past that stone, you're going to be like, remember when God saved us? Remember when God gave us that victory? And it's a stone that's to nudge out of his people gratitude. And so we want to build into our lives those markers of gratitude. Some of you might journal, and that can be helpful. Some of you might want to use Thanksgiving as a time to step back and make your own list. How has God blessed you? I don't know if you want to tackle 1,000 gifts, but do a couple hundred. See how many you could do between now and Thanksgiving. There's a power to that mindset. What is your own personal Exodus story? What has God delivered you from? How has God helped you move forward? How has he helped you walk out of slavery? What is your Ebenezer story? How has God helped you thus far? I love the scene where we just had communion, where Jesus is instituting this simple symbolic meal that the church participates in, where we remember Jesus dying on the cross. I love the scene in Luke 22, verse 19, and he took the bread. He took the bread. Now remember, the bread represents his body. This is the bread of death for Jesus at this moment. He's going to be betrayed by his good friend Judas. He takes the bread of death for him, and he makes it the bread of life for us. He says he took the bread, gave thanks. So in the midst of this terrible night, this terrible weekend that he's going to face, how he is staring into the ugliness of the cross, he took the bread and gave thanks and broke it and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." The Apostle Paul calls the cup, the juice that points to the blood of Christ, as a cup of thanksgiving. And so we see this incredible picture of remembering. We're told to remember what Christ has done for us, and that should bring out of us gratitude. You know, after Jesus died on the cross and rose from the dead, he appears to the apostles, and one kind of got the nickname Doubting Thomas, because Thomas wasn't with them initially. And so later, Jesus appears to him, and how did Thomas respond? He's like, "Well, I've got to feel the scars on your side and on your hands." And he wanted proof, he wanted evidence. And I assume that Jesus, when he got his resurrection body, could have had it scar-free. But he didn't, because that one thing that is man-made in heaven are the scars on the body of Jesus, because for all eternity it will remind us and help us to remember how we got to heaven, to remember the price that was paid, to remember the depth of God's love for you and for me, that Jesus had to die on a cross so that we can be forgiven. And it should spark in us gratitude. You know, one time I was at a church planter retreat, and they gave us this little visual. They gave us each a bowl, and the speaker talked about, and I found it helpful. Imagine your bowl. What's in your bowl? How has God blessed you? Don't be looking at somebody else's bowl. Don't be going, "How come I got this little tiny bowl and they got a huge, you know, popcorn bowl, you know, just be looking at your bowl. What did God put in there? How did he bless you? And keep your focus there. And then you will live a life of gratitude. You will move forward and walk in happiness and joy. 1 Thessalonians 5:16 and 17 says, "Rejoice always, pray continually, and give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." Sometimes we ask ourselves, well, what is God's will here or there to take this job or that job or whatever? Well, here's an instance where we always know what God's will is. It's always to give thanks in all circumstances. Doesn't say give thanks in the best circumstances only. Doesn't give just give thanks in my favorite circumstances, but in all circumstances, in the tough ones, in the challenging ones. It is powerful to give thanks in the midst of all of life. It's really an invitation to a different, joy-filled kind of life, to be a person of gratitude. Rudyard Kipling, who was a famous author, made a lot of money as a writer. At one time, a reporter approached him and said, "Look, you know, we figured out that because you are so famous with your writing, you make about $100 for every word that you write." And this reporter pulled out a $100 bill and gave it to this author and said, "So give me one of your $100 words." And the author looked at him, smiled, and said, "Thanks." That's a $100 word, isn't it? It's a word that can change your life. It's a word that can change relationships. It's a word that makes a difference. Thank you is powerful. Even in secular studies, it's interesting. In one study I was looking at, waitresses who simply write on the ticket, "thank you," their tips go up by 11%. And in a study where they were trying to decide, you know how in fast food restaurants where you're supposed to take care of throwing away your trash, they've done some studies, well, what gets people to really do it? And they had like a trash can that just said trash. You know, they had a trash can that would say, like, "put trash here." You know, it's the commanding trash, you know, compactor here. And then they had one that just said thank you. And at the end of an experiment of a time period, the thank you trash can is just overflowing, and the assertive "put trash here," there's like hardly any trash in there at all. There's power in gratitude. And we need to see this. I appreciate a tradition that my mom does back in Thanksgiving. I don't get to go anymore because we live too far away, but for years growing up, and I don't know the historical if she's spot on this or not, but it had an effect on me. We would all get a little envelope and it would have 5 kernels of corn. And she told us that it got so desperate that the pilgrims got down to that was what they had to eat, was 5 kernels of corn. And like I said, I haven't tracked down the historical accuracy of that claim, but I'll go with it. And we were to go around the table as a family and each share 5 things that we were grateful for. What do we appreciate that God has given us as a gift? That might be a little tradition to add to your Thanksgiving. Just to build into our lives this act of remembering, of giving thanks, of expressing thanks, it makes a huge difference. I think of the little boy who was asked, "What are you grateful for?" And he said, "My glasses." And the teacher said, "Well, why are you grateful for your glasses?" And he said, "Well, it keeps the boys from hitting me and the girls from kissing me." And I thought that was kind of fun. So who are you grateful to in your life? Is it your parents? Is it your friend? Is it your boss? Is it a spouse? Who are you grateful to? And I want you to be thinking about that. About every other seat out there, there's a thank you note. And that's kind of a fading art in our culture. But I would encourage you to write a thank you letter, and I would encourage you to do it today. Don't be that one of those lepers, "I'll get back to it," and then not ever do it. But to write a thank you letter to somebody who's had an impact on your life, or maybe somebody in children's ministry that teaches your kids, or maybe it's your spouse, or maybe it's the person that gave you your first job and really gave you a chance in what has become a great career. I don't know. But I would encourage you to take the time to just simply say thanks, because expressing gratitude is powerful and it's to be part of our lives. Colossians 3:16, Paul writes, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God." And Paul certainly knew trials and difficulties, and yet he says that gratitude should just kind of pour out of us. Psalm 100, verse 4, talks about, "Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name." There is great power in gratitude. And I think, you know, that beginning level is thanking God for the good gifts in our lives. But it's really moving forward and offering thanks even in the hard times, even in the difficult times, because that's a higher level of living. I've gone on a few mission trips across, you know, down in Honduras and different places, and I've always been amazed. I mean, people that, compared to what we have very, very little. And so often they are full of joy. They are people of gratitude for what they have. That is powerful. A great example of gratitude in adversity is found in the book of Daniel. Daniel was dragged away from his home. Israel had been conquered. God sent a pagan land to conquer them because of their wickedness. And so Daniel, as a young man, gets dragged off, and he's in Babylon. And he has arisen. He's been faithful. He's done well. And God has raised him up to a position of power. And now the other advisors are jealous of Daniel. And so they get the king. They appeal to his pride. And they say, "You know what, king? Everybody should pray to you. And for the next 30 days, if anybody prays to anybody but you, they should be killed. They should be thrown into a lion's den." And the king goes for it. He has a massive ego. And I love what it says after this. Daniel finds out about this decree, that his prayer life is being attacked very specifically, that this law is on the books to trip him up. And does he take a break from his devotionals for 30 days? No. Daniel 6:10 says, "Now when Daniel learned that the decree had been published, he went home to his upstairs room where the windows opened toward Jerusalem. Three times a day he got down on his knees and prayed, giving thanks to his God, just as he had done before." I love that. And he ends up in a lion's den, but God does protect him and save him. And so we want to be people who give thanks in all circumstances, whatever we face. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, Paul writes, "Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." Ephesians 5:20, "Always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." I think that's incredibly challenging, to thank God for everything, to thank him for the trials, to thank him for the challenges, to thank him for the pain. And yet, if we believe that God is working for our good, that God is for us, and the scripture tells us that, then we can thank him even for the bad stuff, even for what is painful and excruciating. I was reading about a farmer who had cleared a bunch of trees out, and he had a big burn pile. And this bird came and began to make a nest in the burn pile. And so the farmer doesn't want to hurt the bird, and so he gets the nest out of there and you know, basically destroys the nest, gets it out of there, and so that the bird won't, you know, have little babies in the burn pile, because that would not be good if he burned up the birds. And so the bird doesn't understand. The bird does a second nest in the burn pile, and he's like, "This is ridiculous." So he gets it out of there again, and then the bird decides to go somewhere else. Well, if we could interview that bird, the bird would think the farmer was being cruel or mean. "He keeps destroying my nest that I work so hard on." And yet the farmer is helping the bird. The farmer is protecting the bird from a danger the bird can't even see. And so if we believe God is for us, that he works all things for our good, doesn't mean all things are good. It just means that he brings good out of all things. Then we can walk in trust and in gratitude. And so it is crucial that we do this. You just never know what God is doing further down the line. So what are some ways we can say thank you to God very quickly? One is to spend time with him, not just Sunday morning, but on your own. When you forgive others, that's another great way to say thank you to God. Thank you for the grace you've given me. I'm going to turn around and offer it to somebody in my life who has wounded me. When you serve in the church, I was mentioning volunteers earlier. That's a great way to say thank you to God. When you share the gospel with other people, what a great way to say thank you to God. Thank you for this incredible gift. I want to turn around and share it with others. When you reach out to hurting people, because every person you ever lock eyes with in this life, no matter how difficult they might look and appear, is a person who's made in the image of God, is someone that God cares about, that God loves deeply and passionately. When you give of your best, whether it be your talents, your time, or your treasure, that's a way to say thank you to God. When you praise Him enthusiastically from the heart, He loves that. He enjoys that. You know, worship is really running to God. I always, you know, my big ones don't do this anymore, thank heavens. But when they're little, they run to you and they stick their arms up and they just want to be in your presence. They want you to hold them. That, to me, is a great picture of worship. Now, my son, who's 6'2", that doesn't work with me anymore. But, you know, and so say thank you to God with your life. Be a person who walks in gratitude. I heard one author talk about, you know, whenever you struggle with gratitude, imagine that there's this one big table and the entire world gathers around the table and the whole world shoves all their problems on the table and then we divide it evenly. Now, who wants to do that? I'm just curious. Do you want to do that? I don't want to do that. I'll take the problems I've got. And so we need to be people who walk in gratitude. Do the simple things that remind you. When you first get up in the morning, try to put your mind on that track. Scientists tell us we have about 60,000 thoughts a day. So start that train with, Lord, I am grateful for. What a great way to start. If you're a writer, sit down with pen and paper and write right off the bat. Get your mind headed in that direction rather than some pressing problem, rather than what you're angry about. Years ago, I found something that I really appreciated when it comes to gratitude, and I like this. I am thankful for the taxes I pay because it means I'm employed. The clothes that fit a little too snug because it means I have enough to eat. A driveway that needs shoveled because it means I have a home. The spot I find at the far end of the parking lot because it means I'm capable of walking. My huge heating oil bill because it means I am warm. All the complaining I hear about our government because it means we have freedom of speech. The piles of laundry in our laundry room because it means my loved ones are nearby. The alarm that goes off early in the morning hours because it means that I'm alive. The weariness and aching muscles at the end of the day because it means I have been productive. Gratitude is an incredible gift, and we can look at life through that lens. And I encourage you to choose it each and every day. So maybe make a big list of gifts God has given you. Write a thank you note to somebody that's had an impact on your life. Take a practical step to be a person of gratitude, of thankfulness. Walk it out this week. Let's pray. Dear God, thank you so much for life, for your Son, for salvation, for your many blessings. Lord, overwhelmingly, this is a group of American citizens. We have so many blessings. Lord, we thank you for that. Lord, we are just so grateful. Lord, some of us have good health. We are grateful for that. Some have children that's a wonderful blessing. We're grateful for that. Lord, there's so many things. Jobs, sight. The list goes on and on. Lord, we just thank you for the probably thousands of gifts you have given us. I pray that we would be people who walk in that and share the joy that we find, not just in your present, the presence that you give us, but your very presence in the person that you are. Lord, help us to be grateful for you, not just what you give. Lord, this is our prayer in the name of Jesus. Amen.